What's happening, Hardscapers? This is episode 99 of the How to Hardscape podcast, where we talk to you about how you can start and grow your hardscaping business. And on today's episode, I just want to say thank you to everyone that has been with us and listened to each of these episodes and continue to support us wherever and however that might be. I can't say enough thanks to those guests that agreed to come on the podcast and continue to come on the podcast and provide their value to our audience, as well as the listeners for each and every week tuning in to the new episode that came out. I cannot say enough thanks as we come to this 100th episode. When I set out to start How to Hardscape, and we'll get into that in the story, I did not know how this was going to be received and what this might bring, but it's really become quite an incredible thing to be a part of and to join in this journey with the industry and everyone that is, you know, supporting this How to Hardscape podcast, the website, everything that we've got going on online, and where this might take us in the years to come. It has been more than 2 years since we launched the website, howtohardscape.com, and started to post articles there. It's been coming up on 2 years for the Instagram page and then all the other social channels that have come with it, as well as almost 2 years since we launched the podcast. And all of that was kind of in the works as I started this website, howtohardscape.com, and the planning started from there. So thank you to everyone that has shared, liked, commented, subscribed, followed, left a rating and review of our podcast on Apple Podcasts, have listened to an episode, have joined us on a podcast episode, and continue to join us on podcast episodes. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. On today's episode, I am actually just going to talk about my story a little bit. I wanted to do this before we got to that 100th episode, or as we kind of approach this milestone with the podcast, to just share my story, get it out there. I've sprinkled it into episodes, into interviews, and on other people's podcasts that I've been interviewed on. But I did want to just kind of put this out there, my journey into how I decided to start How to Hardscape. So my story with this industry starts back in 2007. At this time, I had no idea what the future had in store for me and what my future looked like. I was exiting high school and I was about to enter my first year of university, getting a degree that really had no future prospects with it. History, I love history. Growing up, it was the only subject in school that I really connected with, so it just made sense for me to go waste 4 years of my life getting that history degree. But I worked during high school at a grocery store, and I'd always believed that I was always instilled with this work ethic from my parents that, you know, no matter what you're doing it to the best of your ability, and you don't know what that really, what might happen with that and who might be noticing that. So come 2007, when I need more hours to pay for my tuition, I am presented this opportunity from my manager at the time, who her husband worked at a stone yard, and they'd always been looking for new workers each summer to fill in positions. And she basically said, you should apply for this. They're going to give you the hours that you want. We can't offer you those hours here. And I know you're a good worker, so you should go apply for this. And I actually had two other buddies that worked with me at that grocery store that also got the same opportunity. So I applied and went out for that interview, all dressed up to the stone yard. And that's where I met my manager at that time, and this gentleman that had such a huge impact on me in this industry. And I didn't know walking into that interview what would have come of that into where I am now. It really just goes to show putting your all into everything that you do really helps to set the stage for your life, because at this time, I knew nothing of this industry. I had no idea what a stone yard was, what kind of products they would be selling. I walked into this interview, and as those two then remarked in the future, they said that I came in a scrawny looking kid, knowing nothing and just wide-eyed, just wanting hours. And them telling me that, you know, you're going to get 60 hours working here. And I would say, yeah, oh, that's great. And they said, no, 60 hours a week. Can you understand that? And at that time, I'd been working at the grocery store for 20, 30 hours a week while in school. So I really couldn't comprehend how much hours that was going to be, and the doors that would open up for me as a 17, 18-year-old kid. But I'm forever grateful for being able to be given that opportunity. But really, the best person that can tell this story in my entrance into the stone yard would be from the gentleman that I got the job from. So here it is. Okay, Brian, do you remember my first day coming in?
Yes, Mike, I certainly do. I was looking at you and thinking, he looks just like an innocent little boy who has no idea what the real world is going to be like for him.
So, Brian, what were your first impressions of me when I came in that first day?
Well, when I sized you up, I guess, I saw someone who was trying very hard to be a good person and get on with his life. He just needed to be able to be fully aware of all the opportunities around him, and from that, he could make a good decision.
Gotcha. And then, do you remember one of the first things you had me do at the Stone Yard?
First thing I had you do at the Stone Yard was make a decision as to where you wanted to work. Did you want to work in the office with an easy job, or did you want to work in the yard with a hard manual job? And you chose the hard manual job. And the first job you had to do in the yard was to dig a trench through a dike that was 10 feet thick and 6 feet high. And after I let you go ahead and dig away at it with a shovel for a while, then I introduced you to a device called a tractor that would actually do it for you in a much shorter period of time.
A good entrance into the life at the Stone Yard there. Were you surprised when I said that I wanted that physical labor job when I first started there? Or did you think I would be more inclined to that office job?
I was thinking you'd be more inclined to the office job because I had a little bit of insight into your previous employment there, 2 hours, and you were more of an office person there than what I thought you would be. But you chose the yard, so that was a bit of a surprise.
Brian, anything else that you want to say about my time at the Stone Yard there? Any other things? This is completely unedited. We didn't script this beforehand. So anything that you'd want to say that you think my audience should know?
That you were too much of being a good person and that you couldn't guide people into a bit of realism yourself. That no matter what they wanted you to do, you would try to do it, no matter how unreasonable it sounded.
Awesome, Brian. Brian, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Mike. Have a good night.
So that starts my story into the industry. Knowing nothing, being thrown into it, and I started as a forklift operator. So I'd be those guys prepping orders, making sure that the quantities are right, wrapping, loading up with a forklift, also gravel, working that front end loader. And I did this for a long time. I did this for 7-8 seasons, and you know, taking a break at one point for a couple of years. And this was a I believe I did it for too long, especially since at one point in time here, my manager came to me and said, hey, I've got this job on the weekend. I need help with it. We're going to be laying basically a driveway. It's for somebody I know, but I need your help to come. So this is my first entrance into actually installing hardscapes. Well, actually, my first week on the job at the Stone Yard, I had actually helped to install the front display, just doing a labor minor roles with a contractor. But that would be my first entry into actually installing hardscapes. But when it comes to actually laying Interlock. This would be my first experience outside of working at the Stoneyard is on this weekend. And at this time, this must have been like 2011, 2010. It just happened to be pouring rain on this weekend. And I thought, you know what, there's no way that we're going to be working in the rain on this. And Saturday approaches, it's pouring rain. Manager shows up at my door, says, nope, we're going. We're laying on HPB. We're laying on quarter inch chip clear. We can definitely work in the rain. There's no problem to this. And this needs to get done today. So I went out there, laid the interlock in that pouring rain, miserable, maybe a little hungover from the night before, but that would be my first entry into laying and installing. And from that, the neighbor took notice of me working out there, and he came into the Stoneyard while I was working the week next and said, hey, I saw you installing out there. Do you do this on the side? And I said, Yeah, of course I do. And he said, I've got a friend that needs a front walkway, and they'd love to talk to you. So I went out to meet them. And this would come to be the first job that I did on the side by myself. I actually hired a buddy to come work with me to do that. And that is the start of working 80 plus hours a week working at the Stoneyard. And then going off and doing side jobs on, so I would work at the Stoneyard Monday to Friday, and then on Saturday, 8 to 2, and then with the remainder of my Saturday and into Sunday, I would go off and do these side jobs. At this time, I'm still in university, still working my butt off to make enough money to be able to afford not only being on my own, paying rent, but also this tuition. And I just worked, and I worked. And this is, you know, there's not much else to it other than everything that I learned from that experience kind of piled itself on top. And I really do think that this was such a great opportunity for me to be able to get a paycheck, a consistent paycheck during that summer, as well as to learn things from the installation side, and as well as to learn things from the people that I worked with at the Stoneyard, the contractors that came in, just asking them questions, telling them and being transparent about what I was doing. Because most of these side jobs, I knew these people or they were referred to me from somebody else. So just picking their brain and asking them about pricing and learning how to price jobs was super important. And I was able to make those mistakes and afford those mistakes because I had that consistent paycheck coming in from the Stoneyard. So I learned a lot during this period of time. And just being able to take that, and when I did finally jump off and start my own business, to then apply that to my business was super important, because I can't imagine taking that leap of faith without the knowledge that I had when I did start my own business, and learning while in business. It wouldn't have turned out the way it has for me in my business. Not that I'm super successful in my business. I still got lots of ways to go with that. And but that is kind of my progression from 2010, 11 to 2000 and around 14, when I did finally move on from that Stoneyard position, and took a couple year hiatus before actually coming back to that Stoneyard position for a few months to give them a helping hand and to then do my own thing, which would be starting my landscaping business. I really don't know how much more to talk about this period of my life working at the Stoneyard and working on the side, other than to say that deciding when it is that you are going to start your own business, or whether it is trying to find that right time, I'd say that there's no real right time. I'd say I waited too long, if anything. But that's because I really wanted to create a good relationship and solidify that good relationship with the people that I worked with at that Stoneyard, because they did refer contractors out, and I wanted to make sure that I was on good terms with them, really showed them that I was really willing to work hard for them during that time that I was there. They knew I had bigger aspirations other than to work there long term. So they knew that I would eventually start my own landscaping business, which would be good for them because then they could have another contractor to then refer. And actually, when it came down to it and I started my own business, my manager actually changed locations, changed companies. So I then had the guy that actually got me the job still working at that stone yard, as well as my manager at the time at another stone yard, different company. Now I have two referral bases coming into me. So I'd say even though I waited probably too long, it really worked out to be at the right time, because everything kind of works at the right time if you look back on it. But This is my journey into the industry, starting at that stone yard, learning the product, asking lots of questions about the product, about installation. I'd get literature that I'd take home and just read from these manufacturers, from the stone yard, whatever it might be. I would consume it all and then put that into practice with these side jobs. Of course, being transparent with those clients, because they were also word of mouth referrals. I'd never take anybody that came into the store looking for a contractor and say, hey, I actually do this on the side. It just wouldn't be ethical. I'd always refer those two contractors that we referred at work to. And all these side jobs came from referrals. So it was at this time that all this work on the side piled up, and it got to a point where I was working less on the side and making more money than I did at the stone yard. So at this point, it just made sense to start my own business. And at this time, I'm married, and it's difficult when you're married, and as opposed to being single, to be able to say, hey, I'm starting this business, I need your support. It may not make a lot of money in the first couple of years, but this is what I want to do. It also came at a point in my life, in our life, that really I needed the business to be profitable right off the bat, which that means not going into debt. It just where we were in our personal lives, and so I needed to position myself right away to be the most profitable I could be to support us, as well as to have very low overhead. And while working at the stone yard, I knew that what that meant was to do maintenance work, do in terms of hardscapes. So that means like lift and relays, repolying, you know, these services that other business don't want to do. That was my positioning in the industry when I started my own business. It was what made the most possible sense in terms of my personal life, as well as financially, because I needed to be the most profitable, I needed low overhead, and I needed to be able to complement the contractors around me in order to get work from them that they didn't want, as well as the stone yard and so on. That's where I started my business, was almost 100% lift and relay maintenance hardscape work. Now, I still, in that first year, did a couple new builds. And actually, that's when I signed up my first new build. That's when I knew I could start my business, because that I knew was going to bring me in good money. I would rent the equipment that I needed and go on from there. And actually, while I was working at the stone yard, I got a couple big jobs that I was able to complete, pocket the money, and then use that to start my business. That included a pool patio, a backyard patio, and a driveway lift and relay. And that money was then used to buy my pickup truck, to buy all the little tools and equipment. And then when I signed up that next new build backyard patio fire pit job, that's what catapulted me into saying, I can now quit the stone yard. I can focus full time on my business. And I would position myself as that lift and relay company. Now, fast forward to today, I am completely transitioning away from that lift and relay work, and I'll talk to you about why I'm doing that and what that might mean for my business. But at that time, this was 2017, 2018, that's how I knew best to complement the contractors around me, to network with them, and to be most profitable as possible for myself and my wife. So that first year was awesome in terms of that. Obviously, when you're doing lift and relay work, your revenue is not huge, but your profit margins are. And that was excellent for me in terms of doing that. Fast forward through that first year, it was awesome. And then that second year hits, and I almost immediately in that second year, starting out the business, signed up a full year's worth of work in terms of this lift and relay work. I was in a area where I don't know where the lead came from, but I signed up a lift and relay of a driveway as well as backyard patio. And this is a small area in a small town that basically is a protected community that they get all of their driveways done in interlock. And this fast forward 15 years later, 10, 15 years later for most of these homes, the driveways need work done. And I go out, I give him a quote for his driveway lift and relay, and I get in there, I do it, and everyone on the street sees me. They want the same thing done. So this is where things kind of start to take off for my business, but it's still lift and relay work. I sign up almost a full year's worth of work in a small amount of time, which gives me the rest of my season to just head down, work, get this money in, hire an employee, and it's very basic stuff. But at this time, I know that I need to start to transfer away from this lift and relay work. One, because, you know, partway through the season, I'm completely burnt out because there's nothing creative about these lift and relays. And I knew that it was these lift and relays that were burning me out because I would do a few of them and then I would go do a new build. And I would re-energize myself with this new build and being able to design this space and go through the client and through the build process. And then the next week, I would be back at a lift and relay and I would feel really not good about wanting to get out and to start that next project. That was a lift and relay. And knowing that, you know, 2-3 weeks, I'd be doing lift and relays before my next new build. So I knew that this was an area in my business that I wanted to start to leave behind. So I set up a plan in order to bring on more of those new builds and to transition out of this lift and relay space. Now, that's difficult to do, especially when you've established yourself or started to establish yourself as this business. That means as more lift and relay opportunities come my way, I need to be more intentional on turning them down, saying no to them in order to begin to establish myself as a company, as a business that is taking on these new build, design, build projects. And so at this time, I establish a 3-5 year plan of transitioning out of this lift and relay space that I'm still currently in, which brings us to these last two seasons, this season included 2021, where we're experiencing these product shortages. I've kind of put that on hold a little bit, that lift and relay, because they can be really good projects to go to if a product is short a little bit, or if I'm not going to get that product for a long time, or really not knowing what the rest of the season it really has in store for us. So at this time, I'm still taking on lift and relay projects because of that reason, to be able to diversify where those projects are coming from for me, with the intention that I will continue to transition out of those. That being said, a lift and relay business is an easier business to scale up because of that, because there's no customization work. It is a business that it would be easy to scale and send people out to quote the work and then do the work, as opposed to a completely custom new build space or renovation space. But it's not. I found out partway through that year that that is not the business that I wanted to create. Completely burnt out, no creative work done. I knew that the following year would be the year that I start to transition away from this lift and relay work. That being said, that year really set me up for success in my business, and it saved me a lot of time running around, trying to get more quotes, trying to line up more work. I also learned a lot in terms of dealing with customers with these lift and relays and to manage client expectations and to also try and upsell as long as it's ethical and it provides the clients a lot of value. For example, if I go in and I look at a lift and relay, and I know now that if I'm looking at a lift and relay and they just want me to pick up small areas, I know how to manage the client's expectations with that. That doing that, if there's a divot in their driveway, in order for that divot to form, the interlock has to actually move laterally because they're the pressure points in the interlock to be able to form that divot. So we can lift and relay that, but it's not going to look 100%. And they need to understand that before we go and do that. But at this point in my business, we don't do a lift and relay unless we're doing the entire thing or a very large portion of that. And again, managing the client's expectations with what that is going to look like. At the same time, we're telling the clients that when we meet with them that if we're lifting this whole thing, we're redoing it, you're really not that far away from just doing a brand new project with a brand new design, brand new interlock, and then you have an updated space. Is this something that you would want to do as that kind of upsell to get them into that? I think I had a 25 to 33% closing rate on them just doing that as opposed to reusing the old interlock during that second year of my business. I'm also a big proponent of reusing stone as long as it's in good condition, as long as we can clean it properly and maybe even seal it for them, because that's one of the main advantages of using interlock pavers, whatever it might be, that they look awesome from the time they're installed to whenever in the future, as long as they don't degrade, as long as they don't get broken down. So I am a big proponent of reusing stone, but I always give the client an option to update their space, to reuse or use a new stone in place of that. So that's how I structured my business for that second year. Signing up that full year's worth of work really allowed me to take a step back and to evaluate where I was with my business, where I wanted to take it, as well as to start to put the first little moves together to start this platform, How to Hardscape. It was at this time that I knew I was going to dedicate the time that I had available to work on my business, as well as to work on what I needed to get together to do How to Hardscape. And it was at this time that my wife and I actually decided to relocate, which meant leaving behind the connections I'd made in this one city over so many years working at a stone yard, as well as the work, the referrals, the word of mouth coming in, which threw another curveball into the situation of this business. Now, we didn't relocate far. It's about an hour away from where I started my business, and it made sense for my wife's new career move to move here. This is where personal and business collide, because some things just don't work out the way you want them to, but it comes down to making the logical, rational decision, whatever that might mean in your personal life. And that kind of threw a curveball in the business, but regardless, I was still able to work through that season and to make that commute to wrap up the contracts that I had in place then. And then that comes into starting How to Hardscape and really using the time to establish the website, which means I think I should start talking about why I started How to Hardscape. I started How to Hardscape because I'd seen for so many years contractors coming in to the stone yard and talking about their business and asking them questions and seeing new contractors at the beginning of the season come in and kind of die off midway through the season because they weren't pricing themselves accordingly, or they were undercutting the market, undercutting the competition. It kind of inspired me to, at that time, to think about starting a website. It was around this time that I thought, you know what? This is a great idea for something else I'm passionate about, which is that online space. I distinctly remember it was 2014, and it was around this time that I started learning more about this online entrepreneurship route that people were going, setting up websites and SEO. And it's at this time that I'm thinking, I want to do something like this. I got into podcasts. This is when I first started listening to podcasts, and I'm like, I want to start a podcast about something. What am I passionate about? I wrote down my passions. Hardscaping was one of those. And at that time, I knew sometime in the future, I'm going to start an online something for this industry, but I want to do it right. So in 2014, I actually did start a website. It wasn't for the hardscape industry. It was about another passion of mine. And this was going to be the experiment website, the thing that I would use to learn SEO, to put these things into practice, to learn branding and whatnot. And that website kind of gained a little bit of traction here and there, but it never really took off because it was so wide-ranging topics that I learned later. But then through what I learned with that first website, I created other websites until I finally got to the point where I was confident enough that I could build something through this industry and to start this How to Hardscape website. In 2017, I actually started a different podcast and grew that through 80 plus episodes until I started the How to Hardscape podcast and was confident enough in my interviewing skills, in my ability to put this type of podcast content out, that I started the How to Hardscape podcast. So with all this was just building blocks to set up this How to Hardscape platform. And I wanted to take everything that I'd learned from my experience, from other people's experiences, and combine that into what is now the How to Hardscape platform. I knew my strength lied in that SEO website building. So that's where I started. And so the howtohardscape.com website started in, I believe, early 2019. And it was that writing of articles that are SEO optimized that I knew I could reach the greatest audience possible at the time in order to provide the value that I knew that I could provide. Shortly after I released or started that website, I went to a conference. And at this conference, there was a point in time where a contractor actually presented their pricing strategy and a spreadsheet that they'd created to be able to price their jobs. It was a one-tab spreadsheet, very basic, that allowed them to type in the different information that went into their pricing. But at this point in time, I saw everybody in the audience take out their phones and start taking a picture of this spreadsheet. And I noticed that this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And going back to my time in the Stoneyard, that obviously it was something needed in the industry. Something very affordable, something very basic, but allows people to make sure that they're making the money that they need to make on every single project to be able to recover their overhead expenses, to be able to recover their labor costs, the material costs, and to ensure that they're making the profit that they need to in their business, which is actually something that I'd already created for my own business in a very basic form, which is the beginning of the budget and estimate spreadsheet that we've created on our website. And I took that, I adapted it, and I posted it on the website, and that's what we have today for our budget and estimate spreadsheet. So continuing with this, this is actually before the podcast was actually released, and the website already had a good amount of articles on it, and I thought were the avenues in which I was going to market this platform I was creating here. And obviously Instagram made a lot of sense, and I hadn't leveraged Instagram anywhere near to the way I had in my business at this time. I hadn't been on Instagram. I posted a few photos and just left it. I had used Instagram in my previous websites that I'd created, but I really hadn't known the audience, the community that's there now with the hardscape industry. But I thought, you know what, if I create a community on Instagram for How to Hardscape you and really establish this community. This is what I would want most. This is where I figure the best way to establish this community would be with this social media platform, as opposed to Facebook or other, you know, avenues that I could pursue. So I started with Instagram, and that's kind of where it went in July 2019. So shortly after, about 6 months after the website was launched. But it was at this time that I also was planning the first stages of the How to Hardscape podcast. So at this time, I reached out to some of the people that I wanted to have on the show right away. And I struggled for many years with what a hardscape podcast would look like, because I thought it was very visual based. What would people want to tune into a podcast in the hardscape industry for if it's not visual based? And I did jot down a lot of different episodes that I could do and the people that I want onto the podcast. And it wasn't actually until November of that same year that I had the idea to bring on business owners on a regular basis with the I Am a Hardscaper series. But to start off, I distinctively remember choosing two people or companies to reach out to for this interview. And the first one being Paver Pete, and the second one being Alliance, to talk about their gator-based system, because it was something in my business of Lift and Realize that I had come to really love, really enjoy, and it fit perfectly into my business of low overhead, high profit. So I figured if I got these two, that really it would confirm my thoughts of creating this podcast. And amazingly, right away, Paver Pete got back to me, said, let's do it. And I did that podcast interview on a project that was one of my few new builds for that season that I was doing all those lift and relays. And I did that in the truck of my, in my truck. And I just recorded it on my laptop. The other one would have been with Jeff Cunningham of Alliance Alliance. And I also did that later, shortly after the Pay Repeat interview. And these two interviews kind of set up myself and my confidence for reaching out to many different companies by now, many different business owners, and to really solidify and establish the How to Hardscape podcast. I also knew that I would be adapting some of the articles that I'd written into podcast form, which I did early on, and I continue to do and sprinkle through with these releases of the podcast. And that is how to Hardscape was established. And really, my goal with How to Hardscape was to create a platform that brought everybody's expertise together to really improve the industry and to get as many ideas out there as possible. Because business, there's no one way to do business. Everybody has their own ideas, and there's many different successful iterations of a hardscape business. And there's many different avenues that you can pursue, and this can be dependent on the market or the person at the helm of the business. So I figured that this would be the best way to bring all that knowledge together and to put it out there for the listeners to be able to use to whatever way they see fit. And along with that, what I wanted to do with How to Hardscape was to establish a sense of pride in the industry, so that when we talk about our work, we have an incredible sense of pride about it and who we are as hardscapers. That's where the I Am a Hardscaper kind of came from as well. And in doing so, and in invigorating this sense of pride in the industry, I really feel that this, along with the education and the showing off of what a hardscape company is, will really help to build, and I'm just a small cog in being able to do this, but to bring more people to the industry, to bring more people to respect and see this industry for what it truly is. And a big part of that is the fact that our labor force is so small that people will want to and be drawn towards this industry and to want to be in this industry. All of these small little steps that I am putting forward with How to Hardscape is for this longer term goal that I just discussed there. Because really, ultimately, I want to be able to give back in a meaningful way to an industry that took me in when I needed it most, in a time when I didn't know where I was and I needed something. And this kind of just, and this industry kind of just opened its doors to me and took me in. So I feel this need to give back somehow in some meaningful way as much as possible. And that's where this platform plays its role and how I want to use this to do exactly what I just said here. And I hope that it has started to do something. I hope that it has influenced one person to look at this industry in a different light. I hope it has influenced one person to get into this industry in any way possible, whatever that might be. And I hope that it continues to do so. Fast forward to today, my business is about 75% new builds, 25% lift and relays, and I'm looking at keeping that steady for this year at least until I know and we know what the future kind of holds in store. Having those lift and relays will be crucial if products are delayed, especially moving on into this season. So I'm all about diversification, very much into personal finance, so diversification is a big thing in my mind all the time. We're also a really small outfit, one crew, and I'm a big proponent of renting equipment, especially in many different situations that I am working in. Access is very limited, so I want to be able to have the right piece of equipment on the job for any given project, and especially when doing these lift and relays, which are more labor intensive, we want to make sure that we are spending the money in our business in the right areas, in the right avenues that could be. We are also still doing a lot of business in the area in which I started, so the goal would be to transfer that slowly closer towards where we are living currently. And all of this is just part of a bigger plan with the hardscaping business and just trying to grow slowly to make sure that we continue to have a foothold in the market that we are occupying and to be able to provide the best value that we can to our clients in every step of the way. And honestly, I've use this podcast to not only give back to the industry, but to also learn from people that I talk to learn about different products, services, business strategies, and whatnot to apply to my own business as well. After working at the Stoneyard for so many years and seeing that contractors weren't utilizing all of the products to their potential, like landscape, hardscape, lighting, fire pits and artificial turf, sealing, cleaning, these things were just not being utilized in the way that they should be to be able to add more services to your business, to complement the hardscapes and to add more value to your clients, as well as creating more profit for you in your business. I knew that this is how I wanted, these are things that I wanted to include on this platform in order to help people and to get this information out there. So what's next for How to Hardscape? So basically, we're going to continue doing everything that we've been doing and getting this content out there in as most accessible way possible. We're going to continue to improve the budget and estimate spreadsheet that you can find on our website. And those that have bought in will continue to get updates as we update that for not only our own business, but for that product to improve it, to make it easier to use and better for you. We're going to continue to put out resources, and especially we're going to be putting in a lot of effort into our YouTube channel, not just the How to Hardscape YouTube channel, which you can go check out right now, but the I Am a Hardscaper YouTube channel, which will be focused more so on my business and seeing the progress as we continue to grow that business. So if you want to join into the journey there, so if you want to follow along with that journey, I don't think we're searchable just yet, but sooner or later, you're going to see it on our our Instagram page, so go check us out there. You'll see some videos start to pop up. It's going to be videos that complement the articles that we have on our website, as well as podcast episodes, and just general, this is where we're at in our business, to be as transparent as possible, to show you what we are failing in and what we're achieving in the business, to show you what exactly we are growing over there. You can also go to our Instagram at I Am A Hardscaper. That's where we're going to be posting updates and more day by day updates. And as I try to get into this storying while I'm on the job site, because that is something that's really incredibly difficult to do. So I look up to those that are doing that on a consistent basis. That's what I'm going to be aiming for as well as this season continues. I want to wrap this up by just saying thank you. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for sharing, liking, commenting, subscribing, rating, reviewing, whatever it may be. I do really thank you for that time that you've put into this and helping to build this, because this is going to be something really incredible as we continue putting out as much as we possibly can for this industry. And for those of you that also have invested the time to come on the show, to share their knowledge, their insights with the industry, and to those that haven't and post stories each and every day and work on getting information out there into the industry, and those of you that don't even know about this platform just yet, I just want to say thank you, because every story that you're putting out there is showing off our industry and showing what we can do as professionals in this industry. And each and every thing that you're putting out there is being watched and being in making an impact in some way or another. So I do just want to say thank you. And with having said that, we look forward to meeting with you next week on the How to Hardscape podcast.